Today, we stare into the looking glass of history. We look into visions of what's to come. And what's to come is the world of the emperor and his world. We will use the masculine term to define the emperor, but it could very well be the empress. It could very well be a woman. But that really doesn't matter in many ways, because the person of the emperor will be very similar whether they are a man or a woman. Today, we live in a time of illusion, a time of lies. We live in the middle of the greatest destruction, the greatest mass murder of other forms of life, of the biological foundations of life in world history. This is what the current world order is based on. The world order built since 1945 is based on a one-way ticket, the destruction of life. Now, it's sustained itself by continuing to destroy things, but we are reaching a turning point now where the consequences of this become clear, and it's the end of an age, the end of an age, the end of a grim age, the end of an age of deception. We would agree that on a day-to-day basis, life today is better probably than it's ever been. The problem with that argument is at what price? And the price of that has been the wholesale destruction of the natural world. Now, that's going to have consequences. And those consequences are going to be severe. The crisis of modern democracy is much more severe than the crises that destroyed democracy in ancient Athens or the crises that destroyed democracy in ancient Rome. We see many of the same symptoms, the runaway imperialism of Pericles compared to the runaway imperialism of America. And both these cases are very deceitful forms of imperialism. We see the runaway control of money of the political system in ancient Rome and the runaway control of money of the political system in modern America. All these things head towards a tremendous crisis. But the fundamental crisis is the structure of life and the destruction of life. A particular source of concern is the so-called Green Revolution perpetuated by the American liberal establishment, where a virtual chemical warfare attack is launched on the fields of the world, the fields that produce food, to temporarily, artificially increase the supply of food. But this is temporary. This is leading to a wave of death of the bees, of the frogs, of the bats, you name it, it's getting killed. And again, this is a one-way trip. It is not a sustainable situation. So what we have up ahead is crisis, and what we have up ahead, which is defined on our website with publications such as World Future Outlook and other parts of our website, is a big crisis when the consequences for the criminal destruction of the planet, the criminal destruction of nature, come to bear. What goes around comes around. Now, you need to go to our website to read all the details of this, because we're not going to go into all the details in this lecture. But the point is, there's going to be a huge level of death. As crops fail, people are poisoned, which is, of course, going to lead to war. Now, as well as the total dysfunction, by the way, of the runaway financial debts that the parliamentary democracies have run up or usually to pay for the super rich in their countries who've done such a rotten job of running things. So this is obviously politically not a sustainable situation, and it's going to lead to huge and very understandable levels of anger from the majority of people, particularly the poor and the working classes in the parliamentary democracies, the America, Europe, and Japan, and so on. So this is going to lead to a tremendous amount of unhappiness and anger and violence from below. The scale of the death toll by the environmental crisis and the wars that it will produce is going to introduce a new level of brutality into world politics and a new level of ruthlessness. Now, we have seen since September 11th, 2001, the democracies betray almost everything they're supposed to believe, which is not unusual. There's been a long pattern of betrayal and hypocrisy in the past, such as America claiming to represent democracy while launching one of the most brutal racial wars in history against the Native Americans, and so on and so forth. These are all detailed on our website. We don't have to go into all that now. But the point is, out of this will emerge, out of the carnage, out of the bloodshed, out of the fog of war, will emerge the figure of the emperor. And we need to highlight people to be studied in history to understand this. One of the people who really looms very large in world history is Augustus Caesar, because it is Augustus Caesar who swept away what was left of the Roman Republic and created the empire. And the way in which he did that was to claim he was restoring the Republic. His big political slogan was "The Republic Restored." And we already see this in modern America with politicians such as Bush and Obama, who claim that they're protecting democracy against the supposed terrorists by sweeping away entire structures of civil liberties and setting up a surveillance state that would really, really put Nazi Germany and communist Russia to shame in terms of the scale of the totalitarian system of monitoring and control. So far, in fairness, this system has not been fully activated. And fortunately, we have a limited amount of freedom of speech in America, which is very important. But it's very important to also understand that when the crisis hits, this is likely to be swept away. But getting back to the emperor is going to be seen as a tremendous source of hope, yes. And this person will be a very charismatic individual, may even have some new form of religion. Who knows? Our view of the future is clear, but it is not in HDTV. We don't know exactly all the details of this. We're just serving as prophetic voices here to present the basic picture. This person will be a very charismatic person. And the very important, people are going to want the emperor. They're going to want to sweep away the rotting system. And they are going to want to have this person be given power. Now, you need to filter out of your head all sorts of nonsense. The government that governs best governs least, or power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. These kind of slogans left over from the refuse of American democracy need to be thrown into the trash completely before thinking about this. In the crisis that's coming, there will be a need, a necessity for a concentration of power beyond anything ever seen before in history. And the emperor will be a person of unlimited power, power of life and death. Now, the scale of the terror that's coming, the political terror that's coming, will be justified by the huge level of death produced by the ecological collapse and the economic collapse and the violence and death that will produce. So this person will emerge in an extremely violent time and will be justified politically in conducting his own reign of terror to keep order. Because in order to prevent everything from going to hell, there'll be a need for a ruthless system of political order. You're going to move to an area where there's a lot fewer people. And it's going to be a key issue is going to be who's going to be on the winning end, who's going to be on the losing end of that macabre game of death. And obviously, billions of people are not going to be overly thrilled about ending up on the losing end of that situation. For them, life in the modern high-tech world is going to be a big flashing game over on their HDTV screen. You know, sorry, pal, you just didn't make it. and better luck in some other dimension of your life on another planet or being reborn wherever or whatever your religious belief is. And this will, of course, legitimize tremendous levels of terror. Now, another thing that's going to be happening, you need to look at the total unscrupulousness of the leaders in the West and how they have betrayed everything the Constitution is supposed to represent, people like Bush and Obama, to see the ruthlessness of what's coming. Now, what's coming will be a rebirth of the eugenics movement. Not so much on the basis of racial eugenics. That's very counterproductive in our view. Which race is smarter than another race? Who the heck knows? I mean, that's not very good. That just really creates racial conflict, racial hatred. That's something that really should be avoided under all circumstances. But the eugenics movement will be to build biological super soldiers. There'll be a direct military application of this. And all restrictions about biotechnology research will be tossed out the window. And I can assure you that the so-called leaders of the democracies won't hesitate to do this. They have shown themselves to be totally unscrupulous. They won't hesitate to do this. And so we will have the creation of biological super soldiers. Now, that will lead to another issue related to that, which is ectogenesis, the growth of human embryos outside the body, which is still turning to be a bit of a technological tough nut to crack. And we're not quite there yet, but though China has a huge secret eugenics program, so we don't really know what they're doing. They might have already cracked that thing. But this will be also for military purposes, because think about this. Suppose you could grow a biological super soldier stronger and smarter than any human beings, and you could grow this person not in 21 years, but in 21 months. These are all real possibilities. Now, there's no doubt that there's going to be a collection of freaks, disasters, and so on. The typical human situation. There's going to be a lot of miscues, and they're not going to be pretty as this process goes forward, and these people are synthetic people are created. There's also the potential of artificial intelligence. We're skeptical that that could be how far that could go. The human brain is extremely complicated, and our analysis of artificial intelligence is it's not quite there yet, but who knows, it might be. Maybe they'll create a robot that's smarter than everybody, or a generation of robots who will take a look at what the humans have done and then wipe them all out. But we don't think that's very likely. I mean, the Terminator series of films and so on. Creative thinking, but not very likely. But we come back to the person of the emperor. The emperor will be a person, a source of hope. Augustus Caesar was a huge source of hope. He was also perhaps the most sophisticated multimedia politician of the ancient world, who had a network of poets, artists, and so on, and launched a propaganda building program, and so on and so forth. And he was hailed as a hero, just as Napoleon was hailed, who's another potential example, was hailed as a hero, stepping over the ruins of the failed democracy of the French Revolution and so on. And eventually proclaimed himself emperor, much to the fury of people like Beethoven, who believed the concept of a republic. So Napoleon, of course, would eventually marry a daughter of the Habsburgs to try to legitimize his dynasty in Europe. That didn't work very well, since the Habsburgs stabbed him in the back, but that's a whole nother story. But we need to think about these kind of people, and it's very important that the people are going to want that. Too much of the study of totalitarianism is the idea perpetuated in the Cold War by the United States that dictatorships are always opposed by their people, and my gosh, everybody wants a democracy like America. No, everybody doesn't want a democracy like America, and American democracy is in many ways a sham and a deception. And overseas, it's more often than not a ruthless system of imperialism, where America's in favor of freedom, provided the people in the particular country support American imperialism. If not, they're likely to be bombed, killed, murdered, so on, starved via economic warfare, such as the killing of 500,000 children in Iraq by the U.S. sanctions and so on. So it's important to understand the real face of American imperialism, as opposed to the public relations nonsense dispensed by American leaders. So and the bankruptcy of American imperialism will be a key factor in fueling the momentum for the emperor. The emperor could come from America, though. I mean, particularly the liberals in America have shown themselves to be so unscrupulous that they could very easily transform America into a totalitarian state. And we also have to take again, you have to look back at American history from a realistic point of view, the racial war against the Native Americans, and the appalling atrocities committed in World War II, with the firebombing of cities and the mass murder of civilians, which were later proven by the Strategic Bombing Survey to be militarily unnecessary, and the wholesale mass murders in places like Vietnam and so on. So this is certainly not a benevolent system. It's a very, very vicious system presenting itself with the smiley face of humanitarian compassion, the smiley face of establishment liberalism. But you shouldn't take that very seriously. So enough with talking about the loathsome aspect of modern America. We need to talk about the emperor, because the emperor is going to be an engaging person, a magnetic person that will be a source of hope. And there's going to be some very tough decisions about who lives and who dies. And this is also going to resurrect the issue of, which is very old, it's not new, the issue of euthanasia. In Sparta, the children were left out to be exposed so that the fit survived and the unfit died. In America, you have programs such as the Special Olympics, where all sorts of freaks and weirdos are kept alive, and that's considered marvelous and so on, as well as all sorts of vegetables that have no life that are kept alive for an astronomical amount of money at the end of life. You can say this is charitable, you can say that's not charitable. We're not going to really argue about that right now. What we are going to say is, as the you-know-what hits the fan here, these are luxuries that aren't going to take place. There's going to be a ruthless sorting out of who lives and who dies for a much smaller population that will emerge from the ruins of the current situation. That's what's coming. That's what's coming, unless there's radical reform. In conclusion, we would certainly hope that the political system would reform itself and something like this would be avoided. We have our citizen education guide. We're doing our bit. So if people say, oh, you people are just sitting around rubbing your hands about the idea of totalitarianism, no, we are not. We have no illusions about the wholesale carnage that this will produce. But carnage is coming anyway if there's no reform, you see. Carnage is coming anyway if there's no social democratic environmental reform. So these are the stakes. This is what's real. Go to our website, learn more. That's the end of this lecture.